A Divine Comedy, A Good Omens Multivoice Podfic, written by Waywater and read by
Sky Asimaru
and John. Summary: Anthony J. Crowley was something of a rising star in the stand-up comedy world in the late 90s. These days, though, he mostly just snarls his way through open mic nights and Twitter takedowns of terrible movies. Things all go a little pear-shaped when someone entirely unexpected makes his way through the doors of the Ninth Circle Comedy Club. Welcome to A Divine Comedy, the Good Omens stand-up comedy a year. Chapter 1. Comedy Tomorrow, Tragedy Tonight. Saturday. It was already well into the day when Anthony J. Crowley finally woke up. Sunlight streamed in through curtainless windows. Fuck, he had to remember to get some fucking curtains. And birds chirped far too perkily just outside. Crowley squeezed his eyes shut tighter in an attempt to fight off the offending sunshine, but...
Okay, I get it. Fuck.
He snarled to nothing. To no one. Slowly, he blinked his eyes open, brought his palm up to his face to rub over them once before rolling over and grabbing his sunglasses off his nightstand. He went ahead and slid them over his face, despite the fact he was otherwise entirely naked in bed. He retrieved his mobile from the nightstand and flicked immediately to Twitter, where he'd stayed up far too late the night before, live-tweeting about some god-awful movie that every other comic and their mother was joking about at present. A smattering of measly hearts, one of which was from fucking Hester. What was the point of supposed real-life friendship when there was validation from internet strangers to be had? No retweets, no mentions, hardly any love at all for @unhingedAJ. Crowley flung his phone off to the side and didn't even wince at the sound of it colliding with a wall.
Still fucking alive, then?
He asked out loud, acid dripping from his tongue. No one answered.
Right.
He responded to himself, groaning once and then beginning the horrible process of getting out of bed and starting another day. Once he had dressed himself in his usual assortment of black and checked Twitter 3 or 4 more times, he bounded out of his flat and out into the harsh light of day. His head throbbed and he grimaced behind his sunglasses.
Coffee,
he muttered to himself. He shoved his hands into his pockets, confirmed that his trusty notebook was indeed wedged in there, and walked off in the direction of the only decent bloody coffee shop in the neighborhood. Strong word, decent. Crowley hissed instinctively under his breath as he pushed through the door to Jasmine Cottage. It was the hippiest, dippiest, fucking tweest fucking place he'd ever set foot in. But the coffee was good, and there was no fucking way anyone was going to catch Anthony J. Crowley in a fucking Starbucks. Doing his level best to ignore the framed local art on the walls and the blackboard hanging above the counter, decorated with curlicue drawings of flowers and descriptions of frothy daily specials, Crowley sauntered up to the counter.
Ah, good,
he thought as he recognized the bespectacled barista at the counter. He liked Anathema, not that he'd ever tell her. In addition to serving fucking lavender lettuce, she came around and did sets at the club sometimes. She was funny. She was quick and observant and didn't give a fuck about the club regulars who sneered at seeing a young woman up at the mic. Anathema didn't brighten when Crowley walked up to the counter, but that was really just because there was only so much brighter she could become, and besides, Crowley didn't exactly have a reputation for making people's days.
Morning,
he grumbled, making as much of an effort as he ever did.
Crowley, it's after 3. It's also after 1977, and you're still wearing that outfit, Starshine. The Earth does say hello, by the way.
When she didn't laugh, but instead cocked an eyebrow at him.
Time's a construct.
He waved his hands dismissively at her.
Can I just get my drink? I didn't come here for a slumber party. Maybe you need one. Your nails could use it.
Crowley tried not to grin at that. Couldn't let her see that she'd gotten a good one in. Also, shit. Had he really let his nails get into that much of a state? He shoved his chewed, black-tipped fingers back into his pockets under the pretense of fishing for his wallet.
What'll it be this afternoon?
Anathema folded her arms on the counter and leaned forward. Crowley's brittle heart softened a bit at the sight. It was almost as though she was glad he was there.
Stop it. She's not your friend. She just wants a good spot in the lineup.
Not that Crowley had control of the lineup.
Coffee.
Crowley answered, plainly, stubbornly. And the dance had begun.
What size would you like, sir?
Anathema asked, suddenly all faux sunshine and sugar.
Big as you can legally give me. Would you like any shots of flavor in that, sir?
Crowley knew the question had been coming, but he winced anyway.
No thanks. I buy coffee for the taste of coffee.
Anathema rolled her eyes at him.
And let me guess, black like your soul. Ha! You think you got me all figured out, have you? Time to write some new jokes, Tony.
Anathema's eyes twinkled for a second before she was flouncing around to pour him his coffee.
You coming to open mic tonight?
Crowley asked her, not that he cared.
Yep.
Anathema responded, turning back around with a mug.
Got a new 5 I'd like to try. You hosting?
Crowley took the oversized mug away from her, allowing himself the tiniest heartbeat of a moment to relish the heat of it against his palms.
Certainly got nowhere better to be.
He responded to her hosting question, tilting his mug in a kind of salute to her as he went off to find some god-awful table.
And thank you for visiting the Jasmine Cottage, sir. Yeah, speaking of, your actual jasmine plants need a lot of work, device.
Crowley growled over his shoulder. It was true. They were in a right state, but Anathema had already told him off once before for cursing at the blooms while other customers were in the shop. Crowley set his coffee down on a table as far away from any other human beings as he possibly could and let his long, gangly limbs settle down into a plush, vintage armchair. He took a long draught from his coffee and let the heat of it wash down over his bones and guts. His insides were already a tangle of nerves. It never mattered how many times he'd done it, And he'd done it a lot of fucking times. How many times he got up on a stage in front of sloshed strangers? His stomach ached for the whole day beforehand. He looked over the outline of his new stuff. Of stuff he hadn't done yet. His fingers twitched at the sight of it. Anthony J. Crowley hadn't performed new material in a comedy club in nearly 15 years. He stuck a pen between his teeth and stared down at the outline. And stared. And chewed on the pen. And swallowed his black coffee. And shrugged his jacket off of his shoulders. Why was it so fucking hot in this bloody place? And stared. And after a while got up to stretch his long legs. And to wander back to the counter and request a refill from Anathema. And to make fun of her outfit some more. And stared. Finally, he put his pen to the paper. Let the tip linger just below where he'd written long ago.
What are they putting in bananas these days?
He drew a careful arrow to indicate the long ago imagined punchline and wrote down,
What's the setup to this, you twit?
The pen hovered carefully over the next blank page for what might have been hours. Finally, an angry buzz of his phone snapped him out of his complete and utter failure. He pressed his finger to the screen to see who had dared to disturb his artistic process.
Where the fuck are you?
Which, of course, prompted Crowley to check the time and fuck, 7:30 p.m. He'd been due at the club half an hour ago. He drank down the cold dregs of his nearly empty mug, shoved his notebook and pen back into his pocket, and got to his feet. He brought his empty mug back up to the counter. Anathema was leaning forward on her elbows again, poring over her own notebook.
Do the bit about the whales again,
Crowley advised as he set the mug down with a click.
Killed last week.
She looked up at him and smiled.
Aw, thanks, Tony.
And put on a blouse that was in fashion within the last 2 decades.
He continued, unable to stop himself as he turned to go.
See you tonight, Tony.
Anathema called out after him. She knew he hated being called Tony, but he didn't hate her, which she also probably knew. Fuck. So he let her get away with it. He waved vaguely over his shoulder at her and stepped back out into the day. Oh, fuck. Into the night. The sun was beginning to set and a chill had begun to descend over the air.
Feels like showtime.
The Ninth Circle Comedy Club was, awfully conveniently, located just a few blocks away from Jasmine Cottage. Crowley ambled down the streets toward the club, running through familiar setups and punchlines in his head. He was already losing his nerve about trying the new stuff. He pushed through the door to backstage and...
You're late.
Hester rightfully accused him as soon as he was inside. Crowley fought the urge to roll his eyes. Hester and his friend Ligger had been regulars at the club for what had felt like fucking centuries. And they were always so bloody intense about everything.
Yeah, hi guys. Where's Beers?
I'm right here.
Came a highly familiar voice behind him. Crowley turned to them and faked a deep, sanctimonious bow.
Ah, Lord Beelzebub of the Ninth Circle.
Crowley, the traitor. You are late, you know. lost track of time. Are you ready for tonight?
Bees asked. They were tiny, but they were perhaps more intense in their own strange way than even Hester and Liga. They owned the club, and they took it very seriously. Crowley figured he'd probably take something that seriously if he owned it, but he couldn't really be sure. Crowley rolled his eyes behind her sunglasses.
Bees, it's just open mic night. Don't fuck this up, Crowley.
Bees replied, turning to walk away. Crowley hated being left alone with Hester and Liga.
Guys, it's fine. I've done this before. You can trust me.
It'd be a funny old world if comedians went around trusting each other.
Liga scoffed. Crowley made a face and turned to the wall to survey the go-up list for the night. Hester and Liga, of course. There was Anathema. Good. A couple of other names he recognized. As always, many that he didn't. Poor idiots just trying it out for the first time. He never would have said it out loud, but deep down somewhere in the heart that he tried to ignore, Crowley wished them all well. Hoped that they'd break a leg, and then some. Crowley began his pre-show ritual. He paced backstage, murmuring jokes to himself that he'd been telling for nearly 20 years. The volume of mingled voices and clink glasses grew gradually louder and louder from offstage, and that was all the timekeeper he needed. Sure enough, finally...
Take a deep breath, Anthony.
A familiar strain of generic rock music blasted through the club, and Crowley indeed sucked in a breath. As always, there was no going back now. Bees's voice boomed out over the music.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ninth Circle Comedy Club. Give it up for your host for the evening, Anthony J. Crowley.
Crowley pushed through the curtains to the sound of applause. This was always his least favorite part of every show. Applause and cheers before he'd done anything to earn it. It drove him mad. He wrapped his fingers around the microphone and yanked it free from the stand, bringing it up in front of his lips.
Hi guys, welcome to the Ninth Circle Comedy Club. How's everybody doing tonight?
There was a general exclamation from the faceless audience. There always was. Crowley launched into ancient opening banter. His heart still thrummed wildly against his chest, but he got through it. It was muscle memory, really, after so many years. And the audience did laugh at him, and maybe that was enough, like something he didn't dare to name. Hester was up first, so Crowley introduced him, and then went back to hover backstage. Like Crowley, Hester was a bit of a broken record, trotting out the same old material he always did. The audience was kind, though. Must have been a lot of new folks out there tonight. Wasn't that always the dream? Someone new who hadn't heard all your bullshit yet. Crowley generally liked to move pretty quickly between sets when he was hosting. That was the mark of a good host, after all, the ability to keep the show moving, to know when the moment was about them and when it wasn't. Crowley brought Liga up immediately after Hester, and, like his friend, Liga played his old hits. The audience was, once again, kind. Crowley called Anathema up next, and damn, he'd been right about revisiting the whale material, But she also had some new jokes tonight about her family's history with witchcraft. It was personal and specific, and the crowd was thoroughly on her side. Crowley didn't bother to fight the grin that spread over his face as he watched from backstage. It was fine. Anathema couldn't see him. The response to Anathema was warm and emboldening. Crowley's pulse quickened. Maybe he could try his new stuff tonight. They seemed an all right bunch, this Saturday night crowd. As he crossed Anathema's path to return to center stage, he even reached out to awkwardly squeeze her shoulder. As close as he'd ever get to thanking her. As he resumed his stance at the mic, he began,
"Give it up again for Anathema DeVoice!"
He prompted the crowd to continue their cheering for Anathema. And then,
"And give it up in general for the Ninth Circle, the nicest spot of hell you're likely to find on this godforsaken earth."
He stepped away from the mic stands, a bit like tiptoeing further out into the high dive.
"Imagine being an actual demon in hell. What must that be like? I mean, we all think our jobs are hell, I know."
A few encouraging chuckles.
"But I mean, really think about that. What must a memo look like in hell? To all employees, from the demon known as Crowley. Subject, I'm writing to inform you that there's to be rather a big inquisition in Spain over the next few years. Please forward all questions to my work email address. Also, please use the kitchen on the second floor if you need a microwave."
The laughter grew louder, and oh, Crowley drank the sound of it down like medicine. But in the midst of the laughter, he thought he heard something else. Thought he heard talking somewhere out in the audience.
"What's the company party like in hell? Do they get tired of barbecues, I wonder?"
Amidst the laughter, there it was again. Yeah, someone was definitely talking. Crowley took a step farther downstage and squinted out into the crowd.
"Would you care to share with the entire class, my friend?"
Crowley threw out into the audience. It was always tricky calling out someone who was talking. Crowley knew he was potentially forfeiting control over the situation, but also, fuck, shut up while someone is performing. There they were, a little table in the back, three idiots in suits. Some idiotic co-workers' night out, no doubt.
"I wanted to know, are trousers that tight standard issue in hell?"
The idiot to the left of the first idiot slapped the table as she laughed. And worse, other members of the crowd were laughing at the jab as well. Crowley felt a jolt of panic in his guts. He could laugh it off, make fun of his own trousers, keep moving forward, but no. Fuck this idiot. His trousers were cool.
"Oh, I don't know. No more than that tie must be standard issue in your soul-sucking cubicle. At least we get laid down in hell." Oh.
He wanted to cringe as soon as the words left his mouth. Because it wasn't even really funny. It was just juvenile and mean, but fuck, he was on the spot. Now some members of the audience owed and swiveled their heads back to look at the idiot table.
"Oh, fuck,"
thought Crowley. He could make out bees off the side of the stage, furiously gesturing him to knock it off and move on. because no heckler was ever really worth it, especially at open mic night when it's the host's job to protect the fledgling comics. And to create as positive an environment as a grimy, stinking comedy club could possibly be.
What is this table, by the way? Did you three get lost on your way to see the Sound of Music revival or something? Climb every mountain, guys!
Ford every stream!
Shouted back the first idiot, grinning. The audience laughed again.
Fuck!
Crowley saw the idiot start to open his mouth again, and he hurried to introduce the next comic instead. Barely registered their name as it came out of his mouth. The audience shifted their attention to the new meat, and Crowley fought to keep his shoulders from shaking as he walked past them to get safely backstage. Beast was waiting for him there and punched him in the arm.
Gah! Assault! Keep it moving up there, Crowley. I'm not paying you to pick fights over your fragile ego. You're barely paying me as it is.
They punched him again and walked away.
Ow!
Crowley turned his attention immediately back to the idiot table. He would be prepared this time if one of them said something else to him. He had 4 minutes to study and research them to get to the bottom of whatever was wrong with these wankers, at least on a surface. The idiot who had talked in the first place, he was bald. That was a good, easy start. Punching below the belt, sure, but it was something. His companion, who had laughed, she was a bit trickier from the outside. She made her suit look cool. Damn her. Crowley was petulantly grateful that she hadn't been the one to come for him. And the third idiot... The third idiot was sitting very quietly. Crowley could make out shining, bright blonde hair and a troubled expression. Hands folded neatly in his lap when he wasn't nervously sipping his drink. A gin and tonic, Crowley would have bet anything. He was really sort of lovely. Crowley couldn't figure out for the life of him what he was doing here. Crowley got back on stage. He left the idiot table alone, which meant they had won. He left all of them alone for the rest of the night. He did his job. He played the hits. He didn't attempt any more new material. He got through it.
Hey, good night, everybody!
He finally heard himself saying,
tip your bartenders!
And that was that. He walked off stage to meet Beast again.
Maybe leave this bit out of your curriculum for tomorrow night, yeah?
Crowley didn't hear them, just nodded, desperate to get out of any interaction for the rest of the evening that wasn't exclusively between him and a glass of whiskey. Beast sighed and just touched him on the shoulder, no punch.
First round's on the house, okay?
Crowley nodded again, already making his way to the bar. Crowley was well into his third whiskey, neat, when it happened.
Hello?
Came a nervous voice off to his right. Crowley swirled around in his seat, bound and determined to pick a fight that wasn't just in his own brain, but... Oh.
Oh, fuck.
It was him, the third idiot. Crowley's brain went into hyper-observation mode. A set of impossibly kind blue eyes were looking at him. His hair was this fluffy white blonde situation for which Crowley knew he'd never find the right words. His smile was polite but nervous, and his surely soft hands were clasped in front of her stomach. He was wearing a fucking bow tie in this dingy comedy club. He was all starshines and creams and lake blues, nearly glowing within the dark red bowls of the club. Crowley was certain that he'd never seen a softer, more beautiful creature in his entire life, and he felt an immediate pull down in his guts to rescue this poor thing from this dark, terrible place.
Get out!
He wanted to snarl.
Go take your goodness somewhere else, angel.
That's what he looked like, this strange, soft man. An angel. Crowley clicked his jaw shut, cheeks reddening a little as he realized that he'd been staring without saying anything.
What?
He finally spat out.
I'm terribly sorry to interrupt,
said the angel. His voice was a little wobbly and breathy, but there was a foundation of determination beneath it. Like he'd been working himself up to come over and talk to Crowley. The angel paused suddenly, fidgeting with his interlocked hands a little, clearly losing his nerve.
Well, you have,
Crowley murmured, hating himself.
So get on with it.
Yes, well, I'm frightfully ashamed to admit it, but one of my colleagues was the gentleman who was so unkind during your performance. I was hoping that I might apologize on his behalf.
Crowley narrowed his eyes behind his glasses.
On his behalf?
He mocked the angel's prim little accent.
Listen, angel, it's none of my business what sort of company you keep, but don't come crying to me for forgiveness.
The angel gaped a little at that.
He is a work colleague who has regrettably over-imbibed this evening. I merely thought this was the polite thing, coming to talk to you.
Crowley barked out a laugh at that, his head already foggy from whiskey.
Ha! I'm sorry your work colleague is a complete and total ass. And don't worry your fluffy head about me, angel. I've dealt with worse.
Well,
the angel breathed, evidently not prepared to let it go.
Well, I'm sorry on behalf of them, too.
What do you really want?
Crowley wanted to know, whiskey making him less and less subtle as he sized up the angel standing before him.
I'm not quite sure, really.
The angel finally admitted, looking down at his hands. And Crowley wanted to seize those hands, wanted to assure this man that he had nothing to offer him, and that he was better going back to the library where he oh so certainly belonged.
Well, call me when you figure it out.
Crowley turned back to his glass. The angel stood there for a moment longer before finally turning to walk away. Crowley ordered a fourth whiskey. When he finally made it back home, Crowley practically kicked in the door to his flat. He didn't bother to turn on any lights as he stomped towards his bedroom, calling out as he went,
I'm home, sweetheart.
To nothing. To no one. He threw himself down onto his bed, feeling languid and heavy. Everything sucked, and he was fucking drunk, and you wanted to curl up in a ball and sleep for the next fucking century.
Hello?
The angel's face floated into his imagination. He might have been weird, sure, but he was also fucking gorgeous. Crowley groaned as his head flopped over onto his left shoulder.
Really?
He asked himself. Really, it seemed. Because he was hot in the tight trousers that had caused so much trouble that evening, and he couldn't fucking believe the strange, fussy angel was the culprit.
Whatever works,
he said, again to no one. He clumsily unzipped himself and brought his cock out of his jeans. Wrapping his hand around himself, he fell into more familiar patterns. It had been a long time since anyone else had touched Anthony J. Crowley, so he'd gotten rather good at what worked, so to say. But thinking about the angel, Crowley wondered what his full lips would feel like crushed against Crowley's own. Wondered what was beneath all the shining layers. Wondered if he was always so nervous, or if those flashes of determination showed up in bed as well. Crowley threw his head back and shuddered, miserable and alone, and came all over his hand, thinking of a strange angel he'd only just met. Sunday. It was already well into the afternoon when Anthony J. Crowley finally woke up. He still didn't have any fucking curtains. He dragged his hungover body out of bed, placed his glasses on his face, and went to get ready for another day. There wasn't even a show today. Nothing to distract him.
Fuck,
he said to no one, to nothing.
Well, we're not doing this all day,
he grumbled to himself. He dragged himself back to Jasmine Cottage, hoping against hope.
Hey, Crowley,
Anathema said to him, and her voice was so kind and sorry for him that he wanted to rip the fucking out of the fucking wall and bludgeon himself to death with it.
Don't do that,
he warned as he approached the counter.
Do what?
Be nice to me. It was a bad night, that's it. Stick around as long as I have and you'll have plenty of them.
Looking forward to it. What can I get for you?
Crowley was fully prepared to make the same order as always, but what came out of his mouth was...
A mocha.
Anathema, who had already had her hands on the coffee pot, very nearly dropped it.
What did you just say?
Crowley internally panicked. How the fuck was he getting out of this one? Fuck! He must have been exhausted.
For the extra caffeine.
Do you?
Her face was full of wonder.
Do you want whipped cream on that?
He did.
Of course not.
Anathema turned around to start making the drink.
I guess you need the extra sugar for class tonight, huh?
What the hell are you talking about?
This had been a mistake coming here. Anathema turned back around, raising an eyebrow again at him.
Level one class? Intro to stand-up? You didn't forget, did you?
Crowley fought the groan, fighting to escape from his throat. Because he did remember. Now, anyway. He vaguely recalled telling Beast that he'd take the level 1 class off of their hands for this next round and...
Shit!
He took the mocker away from Anathema, only offering a curt nod in response to her suspicious expression. He found his awful armchair in the faraway corner and sank into it, regretting perhaps everything about his entire bloody life up until this point. What the hell was he going to talk about? What business did he have teaching anyone about comedy? He'd had a bit of a hot streak in the 90s, sure, but that didn't mean he actually knew anything. Beez's comment about curriculum zapped into his memory, and this time he did groan. What the fuck was a curriculum?
Relax,
whispered a smooth voice in his head.
You know more than a bunch of wide-eyed 20-year-olds. Just bust out some old improv games tonight. Give them a thrill to be working with former big deal Anthony J. Crowley.
It was treacherous, the smooth voice that sometimes slid over his brain like oil. He knew that. But fuck, it had gotten him this far, hadn't it? Crowley pulled his notebook out of his pocket and, on the blank pages where he longed for new and brilliant jokes to exist, he began to scribble down something like class notes. Crowley was beginning to feel almost positive as he made his way back to the ninth circle. His notes weren't entirely rubbish, and that mocker actually had done wonders for his overall disposition. Besides, Crowley thought as he pushed through the doors to the club,
This might be a disaster, but at least it'll be a disaster that takes your mind off of that weird fucking angel.
Because even while panic writing, Crowley's mind jumped back to the thought of that beautiful idiot standing before him, all soft and innocent. Crowley sincerely hoped that he'd never see him again. It was always so weird and sad to see the club with the house lights up. Still, there was something comforting and familiar about the stale whiskey and cigarette smell. Crowley didn't really go in for scented candles, but he figured he might give them a go if he could capture the smell of the club.
Fuck, you're pathetic. You're light,
Hester sneered. At his shoulder, always, Ligger nodded emphatically.
Yeah, I know that. Try a new approach, guys.
Crowley ignored them. What the fuck were they doing in a level 1 class anyway? They'd been going up for years. Not that it had made them any better. Okay, maybe they could stand to be here. And now, at least, he wouldn't be the only bastard pushing 50 during this catastrophe. There was Anathema, right up front, and sitting off to the side of her was some nervous bloke in glasses, whom Crowley thought he'd seen at open mic night a couple of times. Nate, maybe? It didn't matter.
Small class,
Crowley thought to himself as he scanned the house. It appeared to just be the five of them. Hester, Ligger, Anathema, Nate, and there was... Crowley could not stop his jaw from dropping.
What are you doing here?
He asked disbelievingly. Every set of eyes in the room followed Crowley's stare to the buttoned-up creature sitting in the back of the room, a neat new notebook sitting on his lap, a freshly sharpened pencil between his fingers.
I'm here to learn the basics of stand-up comedy.
The angel responded quite formally.
Lesson 1. Expect the unexpected.
To be continued in Chapter 2.